Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
I want you to turn in your Bibles, we're going to just confirm that word tonight. And if you've not received Jesus Christ tonight, I want to really trust that God is going to do something special in your heart. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 12 to 18. I was driving to PE 2 weeks ago to go and preach there. And as I was driving, I remember my wife, you know, falling into a deep sleep here next to me. And it's those moments when you try to stay awake on the road, you know, driving very far, that you start to speak to God and spend some time with Him. And I was just sharing my heart with them and just telling them, God, there's so many things that I'm trusting you for. There's so many things that I have on my heart, God, that I know that you want to fulfill in this lifetime. And God reminded me about a word that is so special to me, the one of what is in your hand. And I want to just say tonight to you, you know what? God has given you all that you need to fulfill the calling that is upon your life. There's already so much that God has installed into your life so that you can fulfill the things that God has called you to. You know, it's just beautiful to see what God is doing in the generation that we are living in. And Paul was at a stage of his life here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 12, where he was almost to the end of his ministry or his epistles to the Corinthian church, and a time when he was actually agitated. He was at a place where he was really talking harshly to the church of the Corinthians. And it was also a time when he really displayed his heart. And I want to speak about this tonight, something that Paul imparted into the church of the Corinthians that was so special. And if you go and read, and I want to ask you tonight, if I mention scriptures, go and write them down. Please make notes tonight, because there's more than that we can listen to tonight. But it's so important to see the heart of the man. In chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians and 12, Paul then speaks about himself as being the apostle doing so much for God. And he spoke about the sufferings and the things that he went through for the gospel's sake. And if you listen to the two chapters at 2 Corinthians 11 and 12, you would almost think that Paul is promoting himself and telling people what he has done for the gospel. But I want to share with you tonight the heart of the man. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 to 18. Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. But we will not boast beyond limits, but will boast only with regard to the area of influence God has assigned to us, to reach even to you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though we did not reach you. Verse 14, for we were the first to come all the way to you with the gospel of Christ. We do not boast beyond limit in the labors of others, but our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may be greatly enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you without boasting of work already done in another's area of influence. Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. I preached about 3 weeks ago here at the morning service, and I spoke about whoever you associate with is the person that you become. I want to say tonight, you know what? It's amazing to be in a church like this, to experience the blessings of people fulfilling their life's callings according to what God has planned for them. Now, within a few weeks, we're going to go from church to church in Malawi to cycle to the different shofar churches there. And it's just amazing to see the kind of people that are buying in, saying, listen, we want to go to Malawi. We want to do extraordinary things for God. If I look in our ranks, you know, at the Fanafians and so many other people in our midst that's saying that we want to fulfill God's plan and purpose for our lives, then I'm encouraged. Because one thing that Paul is saying here, that there's a sphere of influence that God has given him in the life that he's walking as an apostle. And he says, I count it dear to myself the things that God has entrusted unto me, and I'm protecting it with all that I have. And that's why, you know, I want to bring just the background of what Paul is experiencing, because this is the time that he preached in the Corinthian church was with his second missionary journey. It was in the time AD 51 to 55, and he was there for about a year and a half. He met a couple there, Aquila and Priscilla, a man and his wife. They came all the way from Rome because they were banned from Rome at that stage in history. The Roman Empire was situated, especially focusing on Rome, and the Caesar of the time decided that all Jews must leave Rome and that they must be scattered all over the place because they were busy, the Jews was busy killing some of the Christians in Rome. And so the Caesar decided, listen, for just the sake of peace, I'm going to ban all Jews from Rome. So then this couple, Aquila and Priscilla, came all the way from Rome, and they decided to settle themselves at the Corinthian church. Now this was also the first little group that came together, and Paul met them because they were tent makers. He was a guy, Aquila, who could work with his hands, that made tent with goat hair sheets. And so he made these tents, and Paul, I can just imagine, walked there in the marketplace as he always did. You know, when he got into a city, he was always committed to proclaim the gospel. He first went to the marketplace because it's such a good place to proclaim the gospel. And I can just imagine walking around and seeing at that stage tent making a very big business. Walking to this little shop or this little maybe outside little shop to this couple, Aquila and Priscilla, and they were busy selling their tents. And so he committed himself to them and he said to them, listen, can I make some tents with you so that I can sustain the ministry? And at that stage, they were Jews, but not Christians. And I can just imagine that Paul then took the liberty of sharing the gospel with them. And then the church started within their house. Now, it was for a while because later on, their house was too small and they had to move next door to a bigger house, where they then, extended their tent pegs at the house of Titius Justus, until a time when Silas and Timothy, two of Paul's sons, came there. And then it says that immediately when they came, the work exponentially started to pick up of the ministry. Awesome stuff started to happen in the Corinthian church. There was amazing stuff that started to happen, and some said that it was even because Paul at this stage, you know, received some income from these two guys that collected, you know, income from the Macedonian church, and they brought it to him, so that he, at that stage, didn't need to make tents anymore, but he could focus his whole efforts to all of the ministry at the time. But awesome things started to happen. But with these awesome things also, great opposition started to come against Paul. Now, I just want to give you the background, because at this stage, Paul was also coming from two other places where he was almost banned because of persecution. He was bruised and punished in Philippi. And he was also battered in Thessalonica and Berea. You can read in Acts 17 about this. And then when he approached the Corinthian church, it says in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 3, in weakness and great fear and trembling, Paul committed his ministry. So I'm giving you some background tonight because Paul was not at a stage of his life where it was easy to proclaim the gospel, but he was committed to the Corinthian church. He said, you know what, it doesn't matter what I'm going to commit myself. And at that stage, he stayed with this couple and awesome relationships started to happen. And for that year and a half, he imparted into the church. Awesome stuff happened. And he raised up the kind of leaders that could sustain the church. And then he had to leave to go to Ephesus. Now, we read later on about this couple that they also went with Paul to Ephesus. And they then also opened their house so that people could stay within their house. A beautiful picture of a couple committed to the cause of Christ. And then Crispus, the synagogue ruler even, and his whole family got saved. And beautiful things happened and Paul went to Ephesus. But Paul was warning in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 12 to 18, he was warning people not to boast upon the things that they are doing for the Lord. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 12, not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. Paul's saying that, listen, there's no use in comparing yourself and your gifting and the contribution that you have to make in ministry with anyone else, because it's senseless. Comparing yourself with anyone else brings you to a place where your focus is not on what God wants to do in your life. And I want to say to you tonight, you know what? God is proud of you. God has a plan and purpose for your life, and He will see it coming to fruition if you are willing to walk the road with Him. And so Paul says, listen, I don't want envy and strife among you. I don't want to see the kind of things that I can see in the Corinthian church. And he even warned in later on in the church of Philippi, at the end of his ministry when he was in jail, he also said to his son Timothy the same thing. Listen to this. He said in Philippians 2 verse 19 to 22, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their... Are you with me tonight? Can I just read it again? For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus, but you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Now, those who opposed Paul was the Judeans of the time, the guys that actually, some of them even getting saved, but still wanted to introduce and to cling to the Jewish customs. Now, there was about three things that I can just quickly mention about the opposition that Paul experienced at the time. And the first thing was that the opposition was divided among themselves. Paul mentioned a few times, and you can go and read it in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10 to even to chapter 4 verse 21. There's a lot of dividing factors that's busy happening in the Corinthian church. And tonight I'm going to give you an overview of the Corinthian letter. So please keep up with me. It's a lot of detail. So there was a lot of dividing factors that was busy happening in the church. Now I can tell you it's so similar to what we are experiencing today in our church. And I'm talking about the global church. I remember my grandpa. when he still lived, had this motto about the Opperman family. My surname is Opperman. And I remember he always said to us, Opperman is the kind of guy that will get to a country and he will ask who is in control of this country. And if the person said, he would say, well, I'm against him. You know, and that's so typical about a lot of the South African culture that we are experiencing. Is it not so? That we always, ons wil graag ons eie eiertjie lê, altyd, when it comes to our commitments to Christ. If my contribution can just be known and be said so that everyone can just hear what I have to contribute. And Paul was experiencing the same thing within the Corinthian church. He said, you know, I've got a problem because everything that I bring to the table, there's a quarrel about. And you can go and read, there were so many issues, and I will mention them even later on, about factions that was busy happening in the church that was dividing factors that hindered the church to come to its fruition. Now, Paul said that I even had to fight for my authority because of continuous unsubmissive behavior of the Corinthian church. Now, the second thing that was the opposition of Paul at the time was the one where they were not so spiritual as it seemed. They had this front that they always showed to the people around them. It always looked as very spiritual people, the Corinthian church, but yet Paul said that the focus was at the wrong place. They always focused on status and wealth rather than character and the building of character and integrity and the kind of lifestyle that will sustain the anointing. So a lot of the things that you would see in the Corinthian church was the kind of things we, the Corinthians would love to see awesome things happen. Even the Lord's Supper was an issue at a time where they used the Lord's Supper and even the baptism as magical rites to quick solutions, where they believed, listen, if we baptize people, awesome stuff is going to happen. And I'm not saying that it's not, it should. But what I'm saying is quick solutions was at hand for the Corinthian church. Does this sound very similar to what we are experiencing in life in the church today? We're not willing to walk the road of character forming and integrity and growing our character to sustain the anointing, but we rather want to see big things always happen in the church. And if it's not happening, then we are unsatisfied, then the church is not satisfying our needs. And Paul says, listen, this kind of opposition I don't want to see in you, Corinthian church. I want to see the kind of commitment to seeing a sustainable character growing where your life's fruit shows that you are committed to the cause of Christ. That the sign that you are my disciples are that you are committed to me as the Savior of your life. The third thing that was so evident about the opposition that Paul at that stage was experiencing was the invading of others in their midst. Although Jews, they were influenced by Hellenic, Jewish, and Greco-Roman culture of the time that was focused on materialism and status. You must remember that the Roman Empire and the influence of Greece was at its height at the time that Jesus came and afterwards. A time when culture dictated who's who in society. And that's why Paul was experiencing such opposition wherever he went, because it was difficult to proclaim a gospel where being a slave, serving other people, was accustomed to the message of Christ. Do you know that being a Christian means that you are a servant? I don't think we always want to be. I think this is the difficult part where we forget that Jesus was the one that always bowed his knee, that always was the least and willing to lay his life down for the sheep. And I want to say tonight to you, you know what? Here was a display of a man's heart called Paul that said, it doesn't matter what. I'm committed to this Corinthian church, and I believe this is the sphere of influence that God has given me. And as long as you are the people that God used in my life and through my life to get saved and to walk a road with me, I'm telling you, I will fight for you so that you will stay to the cause of Christ. And tonight I want to say to you, you know what? The times that we are living in is going to be difficult to serve Christ. It was a time when dualism was so evident, where spiritual versus physical life was two worlds, where you could have your spiritual life and you've had your physical life. And you know what? Some people, even in the church of Corinth, was confronted by the fact that they could sleep around and think that that would be fine to do so, because they were already partakers of heaven and their physical lives doesn't matter because they're already living in eternity. I want to tell you, you know what? One of the biggest confrontations that we will have to suffer in the times that we are living is dualism. The fact that we have this little spiritual box that we want to use whenever we are committed to the cause of Christ and whenever it's easy. But when it becomes difficult, we're not willing to do so. And so Paul says, secondly, boast in God alone. Do you know that Paul, at this missionary journey that he went to, was collecting money for the Jerusalem church, for the poor people? And he was even asking Titus and so many of his other sons to do so. And Paul even measured the churches in their giving in saying that, listen, I know that in your giving you are sacrificially displaying the cause of Christ. Today, if you talk about money for the church or, you know, for the kingdom, it's a difficult point. And I just want to say to you tonight, you know what? God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. But do you know that he also measure our commitment to him even through our financial resources? Through the way that we give unto him? And I'm not proclaiming a gospel tonight where you should give more to the church. I'm saying that all of us must recognize the times for what it is. That it becomes so difficult to fall in dualism where we have this little box that whenever we are committed to the cause of Christ, we find ourselves in a place where it's difficult to do physically the same than we do spiritually. Boast in God alone. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 17. Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. And Paul says, he's not boasting beyond the limits that God has given him. The sphere that was entrusted unto him included the Corinthian church. He said that it was his labors and so many that was with him that labored for them. Not the work already done in another areas of influence, but the influence that they themselves did so that they could enlarge the territory even beyond the Corinthian church too. The churches in the rest of the region. And so you see that Paul got to a stage where his fatherly love for this church became so strong that it was very difficult for him to see these divisions of issues always coming up, and then they had to decide, you know, is it wrong or is it right? And then he wrote the letter of 1 Corinthians, the one that he mentioned in 1 Corinthians as the previous letter. And so he wrote this letter and he clarified a lot of issues that was due to be dealt with. And you see that in 1 Corinthians, and later on Paul got to a stage where Timothy went to came back after giving them the letter, addressing these issues, and I can maybe just mention them to you. Issues like abuses of the Lord's table, 1 Corinthians 11, 17. Immorality, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1 to 5. Public litigation among members in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 1 to 8. Uncertainties about the place of marriage, 1 Corinthians 7. Eating food offered to idols, 1 Corinthians 8. The charismatic gifts he spoke about in 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, and the balance of it in the order of the body. And then the view on the resurrection, where some even didn't believe the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. So there was issues that he addressed in his first letter. Then you would see that after this letter, Timothy came back and he reported to Paul, and Paul was quite furious about the feedback that he got, because he realized that things were not well in the Corinthian church. And then he wrote his second letter to them, which was called the painful letter, the one where he really spoke about these issues in depth. You'll see that at the end of 1 Corinthians. And then the last letter to them, which he sent Titus to. Now, I must give you the context of this, because you will understand the depth of 2 Corinthians 10 if you understand the heart of Paul. Because then Paul sent this letter with Titus. Titus, being more of a forceful character than Timothy, went to this church of the Corinthians to go and sort them out. And this letter was actually focused on the leader of the pack, the guy that came against Paul at the time. And Paul said, you know what? In 1 Corinthians 10, he said, I, Paul, have a resume about what I've done for Christ, and I don't need to legitimize who I am because I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. And then he said, you know, he wrote this letter against those who came against God and himself, and especially the Judeans of the time. Now, Paul had his own challenges at this stage in Ephesus. You read in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8 to 10 about it. He spoke about being in a deadly peril, despair of life itself, the sentence of death. So he was going through a very difficult time himself. He sent Titus to go and give them the letter. But at this time, Paul was very concerned. He was so afraid that this letter will intimidate them so much that they will fall away. And it was a difficult time for Paul, because even being in Ephesus, he realized that God, and he mentioned that, he said that God gave me an open door, and you can go and read it in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 12, where he went to Troas at the time, where he was hoping to see Titus to get a feedback from the letter that he sent to the Corinthian church. But at Troas, he came there and he ministered the gospel, but he could not find the man called Titus. It was difficult, because at this time, I can also tell you that Paul was deeply concerned, because he did not get feedback, and he knew that it could be that Titus was not well received. And then we see that he left from Troas to a place called Macedonia, where he did his pastoral ministry. And then in Macedonia, which was pretty poor themselves, Paul spent some time, and then the good news. The good news of Titus coming, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 5 to 16. Listen to this. For even when we came into Macedonia, Our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort which he was comforted by you. As he told us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoice still more. For even if I made you grieve with my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, for I see that letter grieved you, though only for a while. Listen to this. As it is, I rejoice not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting. For you fell a godly grief, so that you suffered no loss through us. Please follow with me. This is a good turn in Paul's ministry. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. For see what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you, but also what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what punishment. At every point you have proved yourselves innocent in the matter. So although I wrote to you, it was not for the sake of the one who did the wrong, nor for the sake of the one who suffered the wrong, but in order that you earnestly for us might be revealed to you in the sight of God. Therefore, we are comforted. And besides our own comfort, we rejoice still more at the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. For whatever boast I made to him about you, I was not put to shame. But just as everything we said to you was true, so also our boasting before Titus has proved to be true. And his affection for you is even greater, as he remembers the obedience of you all, how you received him with fear and trembling. I rejoice because I have complete confidence in you. Can I just say, at this stage, Paul is so relieved to see what was busy happening in the Corinthian church. Because there was a confrontation that happened, and he was very fiercely coming against the leaders in the Corinthian church. And yet it says that there was godly sorrow, where they decided to give themselves to a kind of repentance where God could start to work in their hearts. I want to say to you tonight, you know what, this is a message with a lot of detail, but for me, it's so beautiful to see what Paul is busy doing in the Corinthian church, writing these letters with a kind of heart to see the gospel as his own. There's a place where Paul is extending himself beyond his achievements and says, listen, I can rejoice because you did not get offended. Because you were willing to focus on the kind of grief that is godly in changing your lives. The third thing, the Lord commends. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 18. For he is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. You know, serving Christ brings you to a place where you through the years see so many things happen in the body of Christ. And it's so amazing to be part of it and to see that there's sometimes when you really struggle through hardship like Paul and you bring yourself to the Lord and there's a time that God lifts the veil over you where he commends you. And I want to say tonight to you, you know what? There was maybe years that you've gone through a lot of hardship, where you've experienced so much in your life, and God is saying that it's his timing for you to experience the fullness of what he has for your life. Listen to this scripture, 2 Corinthians, 1 Samuel 7, verse 13 to 14. God commending Samuel. So the Philistines were subdued and did not gain enter to the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days. Listen to this. All the days of Samuel the prophet. Here's a man with a sphere of influence that decided in the time that he was living that I'm committed to God's purposes for the time that I'm living in. And it says in the Bible, so the Philistines were subdued and did not gain enter into the territory of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The cities that the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath, and Israel delivered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. There was peace also between Israel and the Amorites. In the reign, in the time that Samuel the prophet was ruling over Israel as the prophet, there was a blessing. Can I just say to you, no, when Paul says that I'm committed to the cause of Christ and the sphere of influence that he's given me, he said that there's something that I'm fighting over and I'm not going to release the Corinthian church because I'm committed to you guys and the sphere of influence that God has given me over you. And in Samuel's time, you see the same happen. In Joseph's time, you see the same thing happen. The favor of God comes over Joseph, and while being in a position of awkwardness, in the midst of Egypt, being a Jew directly from Father Abram, he finds favor because he's the redemptive agent for the times that he lived in. I want to say to you tonight, you know what? You and I have a choice in following Christ as Paul did. In saying that there's certain things that God has called you to, and I want to tonight speak into your life and saying, listen, there's things that God has called you to that in committing yourselves to it, God is going to fulfill the sphere of influence that is put upon your life. But you must take it seriously. Listen to the scripture. Paul, being commended by God. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10 to 12. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with the weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's stand tonight. Can I get the worship team quickly to tonight lead us into a time of singing that song of surrender? Marcus, that I think the second last song. Paul was committed to the cause of Christ, and I can tell you, you know what's so beautiful about Paul's life? That you see a few times in Paul's epistles, even in Romans, he's mentioning the names of Priscilla and Aquila. And he's saying, listen, these guys that I've met there in the Corinthian church, we've got a life together. He mentions them just before his death, and that was about 16 years after meeting them in the Corinthian church. And then he actually commends them for their commitment to open their house, both in the church of the Corinthians as well as the Ephesian church. And you can hear that Paul was gladly doing it with a lot of pride and joy because he was understanding the commissioning and the sphere of influence that God has given him. And this place where this couple came over his path, and he knew it was for a purpose. Through the years, you know, I've seen many people come and go, and it's beautiful to see how people would even go beyond our sphere of influence, Shofar Church, into the world and go and change so many societies because they are committed to the cause of Christ. Paul is saying, you know what, the sphere of influence is not Paul. I'm asking you to multiply Christ in me. Imitate Christ in me. And tonight, my request to you, we as a church are going somewhere. We believe in God for great things. We are planting churches and we're doing all kinds of stuff, missions, and we know what God has called us to. But there's a place where you need to go and stand before God and commit yourself to the cause that He has upon your life. A place where you can say, listen, if I read the stories of Paul and I'm overwhelmed by the way in which he was battered for the cause of Christ. I know that Paul was serious about this sphere of influence because he was serious about the gospel. And you and I cannot walk away from those promises that God has upon our lives because we love Christ. Let's bow our heads. Father, tonight we stand before you. And we know that your heart is to save the whole world. You've got a desire to see that all men will experience the message of life and abundance. And tonight we stand before you. And Father, we ask that you will do with us as you please. We are yours. We totally surrender to your lordship so that you will approve us, as Paul said, to be commended. And tonight we want to be commended. We want to be commended to the cause of Christ. In Jesus' name. We're going to end off with a song while all eyes are still closed. We're going to sing the song of totally surrender, and I want you to do it out of your heart tonight. A commitment to say, Christ, I want to be like Paul, knowing exactly what you've called me to, what's the sphere of influence that you've called me to in this life. I'm not going to walk away from the altar tonight if I did not mean business with you. If I read what happened in Paul's life, God, it just inspires me because I know that Paul was committed, and tonight I want to commit myself for the same sphere of influence that you've put in my life. In Jesus' name, we surrender tonight. Oh, Jesus. As we sing, I want you to tonight surrender yourself to Christ. And if you need some prayer, come to the front, to the altar, and come and mean business with Christ so that we can pray and commission you to do the things that God has called you to. And if you can stand there wherever you are and just say, God, I don't want to miss out. I want to be part of it. Amen. Let's sing it.
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.